Hi, this is Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report. We have Randy Abrams on today's show, as well as Jeff DeBrose, Senior Research Director at ESET. Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
You know, I wanted to chat about a survey that ESET recently commissioned on smartphone users concerning mobile security and their thoughts and experiences with that. Randy, can you give us a quick overview of what this survey was?
Sure. To start things off, I did a little research, and did you know that in 2007, over 850,000 Brits flushed their cell phones down the toilet? Well, we're not actually doing a survey about data loss due to flushing your cell phone down the toilet, but what we wanted to do is find out what the security awareness of cell phone users were or is. And it was really pretty interesting. We surveyed over 1,000 people and asked them several questions, and we found that, you know, over a third of these people that have smartphones are using the iPhone, and very close percentage are people using Blackberries, and their security habits are not necessarily all that great. And I think our research director, Jeff, can tell you a little bit more about those stats.
Yeah, Jeff, and I noticed one of them that said people really aren't even using some of the basic security functions that are on the iPhone or the BlackBerry with locking the device. I mean, can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. You know, it's pretty amazing because it's not even a separate application. It's just something that's part of the phone.
Right.
But we're, you know, per the results of the survey, we're seeing it about, you know, the respondents are actually stating that, you know, that they're not using the locking that's built into the phone. And it's 55% of them actually stated that they're not even bothering with it. So, you know, so if someone were to lose their phone or get it stolen, then, you know, someone has a better than 50-50 chance of just picking up a phone and perusing your personal information. And with all the apps out there today, you're probably logged into, you know, one or more social networking sites or that phone maybe. And
right.
That's a direct portal right into your private life.
And Jeff's the senior research director, so he looks at this with, I think, the same and a different perspective than I look at it from. And I look at things a bit from the education standpoint and how do you make this relevant to users so they start doing better security. So I'll give you another perspective on what that means when you lose your phone and it's not locked. You're at work and a coworker, maybe your boss, maybe the IT manager, finds your phone and they open up the web browser. And guess what? If you've been surfing porn, it's going to come right back up in the history. So there are good and bad reasons that you can get in trouble for not locking your phone.
You know, what about some of the other tools, in particular associated with the iPhone, like MobileMe or, you know, cloud-based backup services? Are people using these tools?
24% of iPhone users are using MobileMe.
Yeah, I remember it was in that less than 30 range, but thanks for the specific number. So yeah, MobileMe is a lot of the iPhone users, or some, actually understand what MobileMe is, but it allows you to, you know, do a nice complete backup of your phone. But one of the, again, it's a startling finding because it is a fork, you know, it's a paid service, but
right.
When you think about the amount of data that you stand to lose by losing something that's small, I mean, it's a small device, so yes, they do get lost frequently, but, you know, you have that 24% that actually take advantage of it. It's a system that's fully in place, ready to go. You just, you know, pay that small amount of insurance relative to the amount of data that you're going to lose. The folks still aren't really getting it, and it's kind of like, you know, regular security. It's hard to sell it ahead
right.
of time, but then afterwards people may say, you know, I should have done that.
I mean, is this an easy tool that people can be using, Jeff, that where if their phone is stolen, they can wipe it clean or at least have some sort of backup?
Yep. Actually, you mentioned the two biggest benefits is that you get to wipe that phone remotely. So if you, let's just say, for instance, you hadn't done the locking on your phone and you're concerned that, well, somebody might have picked up my phone and now they're, you know, going through my personal information, you can wipe that phone remotely. And secondly, when you get your replacement phone, you can go ahead and restore back into your new phone. So for, you know, some cost, and I don't have the exact dollar cost, you still end up having, you know, that one shot, that one cost for the year, but you end up having a great, great piece of mind relative to someone going through your data or just being able to recover your data, because that's what it's all about these days. We're always trying to make sure our data is intact and that we can recover from any kind of catastrophe or crisis.
Remote wiping is really important for more than just making sure someone else doesn't get your data. It can protect your friends, because if you lose that phone and the odds are it's not locked, then someone can go into your contact list and text them and look like it's you. They can say, "Help, I'm stranded. I need some money to help get me back home." And most people are going to help their friends and don't question who it was that sent that message, because they know, hey, that came from Jeff. He sent me a text message. I know, because it says it's from Jeff.
Right, exactly. No, good point. And Randy, I mean, beyond just some of the security functionalities of the phone, was there any type of statistics found with actual malware or malicious attacks that people had experienced on their mobile phones?
Well, not really with the malicious attacks, but what we found was that 39% of users are actually concerned about malicious software infecting their device. But what gets kind of interesting is that you've got a much smaller percentage, 25%, that report that they're using antivirus software on the mobile device. And then when you drill into the statistics, what you find is that there's not a concept of defense in depth. I mean, you would think that people that lock their phones probably also encrypt the passwords on their phones, but only about 50% of the people that lock them encrypt the passwords, which means you get people with encrypted passwords, which is good, but they don't lock their phones. And then you've got people that are doing one or both of those security actions, but they don't use any mobile antivirus. And then you've got a lot of confusion about what mobile antivirus is, because when it came right down to it, only about 1 in 10 smartphone users report that they lock their device, they encrypt their passwords, are concerned about mobile malware, and they use mobile antivirus, but it's like half of those people have iPhones, and there is no mobile antivirus for the iPhone. So half the people that reported they're using mobile antivirus actually are not.
Well, before I let you guys go, can I get your opinion on how you think security is going to impact smartphones in the short term? Are we going to see this as a vector that the bad guys do target?
Yeah, there is no doubt. You know, it comes down to a few really key facts, and I'll let Randy, you know, close this all out. But, you know, the market penetration of a specific platform, if you look at, you know, the growth rate or the market penetration rate of the iPhone, you can see that more and more, it's making more and more news as people are finding certain security vulnerabilities. We also have the popularity of a platform to engage in commerce, as well as its ability to, like, be always on. So having this, you know, unlimited, you know, internet access through a 3G network or through Wi-Fi allows that, you know, makes it a lot more attractive. And the development tools are getting much more mature. I mean, the you know, Apple iPhone development kit is a very, very mature product, and it also is well documented. So good folks as well as the bad folks can actually look at that documentation and get to learn quite a bit about the internals of the phone. And finally, the International Telecom Union estimated that at the end of 2009, there were 4.6 billion mobile phones in use, and they're estimating that we should be around 5 billion sometime during 2010. So we've got, you know, it's a very enticing target for the cyber criminals looking at, you know, the increasing number of popular platforms and just the overall number of phones.
Right, and the platform is important, and that's why we're seeing a lot of focus on the iPhone. And another point in time, we can do a podcast comparing the security of different mobile devices. However, right now, the biggest threats we're actually seeing are from SMS text messages, because the bad guys are trying to cover all the bases as best they can. So the popularity of a specific device will definitely be a factor, but just because you don't have an iPhone doesn't mean you don't have to watch out.
Randy, Jeff, thanks so much for being on the program today and telling us a little bit more about the survey. If you have any questions for Randy, feel free to email him at askeset@eset.com. You can also follow Randy and Jeff and the other researchers on Twitter at ESET Research. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report.